Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let Mr. Frank be dismissed, his group, Children's Bible Time with Mr. Rodriguez, and you may be dismissed out the back. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, coming down to the end of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon is coming, wising up, going to take this week, and then the 12th chapter, we'll finish that book out on Sunday evenings, but he's coming down to the end. There are two schools of thought, and the first school is what the majority of the world adheres to, and that is, it's just happens, just the way it is. Wisdom under the sun. There's no God. There's no eternity. There's nothing that is going on behind the scenes. Things just happen. And with that, you come into verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Empty. Empty without God. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Right? And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Purposeless life without Christ. He that deserveth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. If thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb out of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Wisdom under the sun. But you live for Christ, you'll have a different focus. All is not vanity, because we have hope in God. Amen. Therefore, remember, remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. Look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart. Do whatever you want. And in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, and for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity, unless they're lived for Christ. I'm going to be a little bit philosophical this evening. Pray that it be a help and encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts tonight, we pray. May it be said of the congregation here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, that they do not live for a wisdom that is beneath the sun, but they live with a wisdom and a hope that is above the sun in the heavens, eternal with the Lord God our Savior. And that would give us hope to sow seed no matter how the wind is blowing, no matter how the winds of government blow, no matter how friendly the neighborhood may be, to invest in the lives of others, whether or not it appears that they are paying attention or not, just so see. May we live with eternity in view, and the fact that every single one of us will stand before God and give account. Lord, we desire to give account with joy. We ask for you to speak and encourage us tonight as we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Solomon and all honest people will come to a similar conclusion without God. And you come and consider life without God. It is monotonous. It is tedious. It is worthless. It is unfair. It is not right. You'll get mad, and you think about it long enough. You take God out of your life, you're going to be riding in the streets like everybody else. because they have no hope. They have no hope in God. Solomon and most young people, they start out their life hoping that they're going to make a difference. I sat in roll call last night, and they had a young lady in the room. It was her first night there for shift, and as they do, they have them stand up, and everybody in the room gets to ask them a question. Where are you? Sometimes the questions are crazy. One time, they asked the person a question, "What is your favorite color?" Who cares what your favorite color is? But last night I heard a question. It came from the shift lieutenant. That was absolutely crazy. He said, if you were in a stadium and there was a wild toddler coming at you, how many waves of wild toddlers do you think you could withstand before you succumb? What? And the person, the gal, police officer, standing up, looked at the shift lieutenant and said, what? crazy. you consider the young people come into police work or into government work or into the military, and they have a desire to change the world. And after they've been there for 50 years, they say life is the military, police department, fire department, government, school system. Has it gotten better? It's not getting better and better. Getting worse and worse. Life is monotonous, it is tedious, it is worthless, it is unfair. Why even try? And that's the conclusion the world comes to. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. But if you'll consider the world, the flesh does not bring happiness. It will not. Education does not bring happiness. Pleasure does not bring happiness. Money does not bring happiness. You talk to the richest person alive. How much more money do you need? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Power does not bring happiness. But as you progress through God's Word and you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you realize He's at work behind the scene. And you and I may not be able to see all that is going on here, but we trust that God is working. God is working. A teacher may say, my class is bored. They're yawning. They act like they don't pay attention. Those kids, our job is to sow seed. If you teach, verse 4, if you teach based on whether or not you think they're paying attention, you'll not sow seed. You'll walk out of the classroom. But if you believe that you have a divine obligation, appointment by God to sow that seed, you're going to sow seed whether the wind is blowing right, whether the clouds are blowing right. But if you regard the cloud, the way the world looks, the students look back at you, you're not going to do that. I found a truth. And that's going to be a little philosophical, a little bit reflective this evening. And it is this. God makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And so when I talk to a person, yesterday, a fella, where's Timothy? There he is. Dropped Timothy off at transportation in the morning. And pulled out of the lot and then pulled back into the lot. And I didn't see him pull in and drop Timothy off. I didn't know what I thought. Well, here comes Timothy. That's what I thought. And so I walked out to the van, but he didn't park like he normally does. He parked over in the backside. And I walked over and said, Timothy? And he said, yeah, I just dropped a guy off, Timothy. And I said, yeah, okay. He said, well, can I use the bathroom? I said, use the bathroom? Nothing. Come on in. We'll feed you breakfast. We sat down at breakfast at the table downstairs and a witness and told him about Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world. And you realize that person pulling into the parking lot is not a random thing happening. You realize God's brought that person across your path for a reason. Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give it to them. God makes all the difference in the world. And then you'll see things, and you'll sow seed when others will say, well, the wind's not blowing in the right direction. Why don't you tell them about Christ? Well, there was a cloud. And people do that. They call me on phone. Not every week, but there's seldom a month that goes by that my phone doesn't ring and it's somebody from Washington, Hawaii, Oregon, somewhere across the United States, and they said, because the world comes to Washington, D.C. I have a relative in your area. Would you please go knock on their door and tell them about Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Give me their address. What's their name? What's their address? And then I ask this question. Can I tell them that you sent me? And they go, oh, no, don't do that. How can I go to North Arlington, Virginia, and randomly knock on a door and say, hey, you know, just happened to be in your neighborhood and wanted to knock on your door? I can't even do that. But why don't? Because there's a cloud in the sky. So don't see it here, because it's not going to be received well. But I found that if you believe that God is working, God will work, you'll sow seed. Embrace an eternal focus. And I've titled this chapter 11, Blessed by a Divine Conclusion. I come to a conclusion that God makes all the difference in the world. And I know that you believe that because you're here on a Sunday night. So I'm going to give you three things from this particular chapter tonight. Number one, be generous. Be generous. Be generous. Why? Because selfishness is foolishness. Let's read those first three verses again. Cast thy bread upon waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, it shall be. Be generous. Account for the fact that what you are sowing is going to reap a dividend somewhere. Help people. Invest in lives. We live in a world of narcissistic behavior has become the norm. What is narcissistic behavior? Narcissism, there's the definition, refers to a personality trait characterized by an excessive focus on oneself. It leads to a lack of empathy, empathy for others, and a constant need for admiration. If you let it go to an extreme, they have a medical diagnosis for it. It's called pathological narcissism. And then they can even give you a medical diagnosis on your chart called NPD, Narcissistic Personality Disorder. Oh, why don't you just live for others? Be generous. Give. And when we talk about generous, we'll talk about this Wednesday night in teachers' meeting. When we talk about stewardship, stewardship is broad-reaching. And it doesn't mean that we want more of your money. It's a call to be generous. And not just generous with money, but generous with your time and generous with your knowledge. To sit down. So we have a church congregation. Do we have anybody in here that struggles with math? It's okay. Raise your hand. Math is not my real big thing. Now, I come from a math family. I didn't get the math gene. I got the English gene. Now, I can tell you my brothers didn't get the English gene. I did. They got the math gene. So how many of you just you dream math? I mean, you dream in numbers. Oh, come on, Ray. I know you do. Amber Dore, yeah, raise your hand. So you look around the room at some of these folks, and I know you have, that struggle in math. And these people that dream mathematics, they can help you, and they will. Now, they'll sow those seeds to try to help you understand, because that's what we do. It's not, generosity is not just about, it's just not about money. It's about giving. There are Christians who never teach a Sunday school class because They don't feel like they have anything to give, but you do. And all of you can help somebody else in some form or fashion. Use your knowledge. Give. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Be generous. Help others. Serve others. Say, preacher, what would Jesus do? I'm glad you asked that question. Keep your finger here. Turn with me to John. Let's see what Jesus did when it came to others. John chapter 13, Gospel of John chapter 13. Gospel of John chapter 13. Jesus is about to go to the cross, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from supper, this is the Last Supper, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water. Jesus, this is the Creator. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, I tell you, I'm not a feet person. I remember years ago, I was teaching from this passage, a long time ago, and I brought Frank Harris, he's downstairs, we'll tell a Frank Harris story. And I brought Frank Harris up on the platform, and he took his shoes off, took his sock off, and I washed his feet on a Sunday night here on the platform. I'll tell you what, I could not be a podiatrist. I could not do it. Feet are ugly, and they just are. I know the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. I don't think God saw my feet. I don't think so. This Jesus, he's washing feet. Poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, every once in a while, Mr. Bishop will say, "Will you rub my feet?" No, I will not rub your feet. So I ask her a series of questions. When's the last time you washed your feet? I'm not going to wash them. I want to know how clean they are. They smell. They're dirty. I don't want to touch them. Could not be a podiatrist. Jesus washed their feet, and they were dirty. Jesus answered and said, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not." I'm teaching you a lesson. Peter didn't even get it. But thou shalt know hereafter, you're going to figure it out. Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." I'm trying to teach you a lesson. You're not going to learn? Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." I just tell you, I couldn't be a hairdresser either. I just couldn't do it. Preaching, you want to touch my hair? No. Last person I touched their hair was Bob from Kentucky. Look at his head. Jesus saith unto him, "Thee that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew that who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean." So after he washed their feet and taken their garments and was set down, he said unto them, "Do you know what I just did? Know ye what I have done to you?" And they're like, "You washed their feet. You call me Master and Lord. I'm the boss." And he is. "And ye say, well, for so I am. If I then," are you with me? "Be generous. Sir, if I then, the Creator, the Lord, God Almighty, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye that do it." What is that? That is serving one another, giving one another, teaching one another, helping one another. The wisdom from this world Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, says, keep it all for yourself. That narcissistic behavior. It's not Christian-based, Christ-based behavior. We are to serve one another. We are to give, regardless of whether we get back. Bible examples would be Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Well, who's going to pay me back? Give and be given of the Lord. God's going to repay. God's going to repay me. God will repay you. The world doesn't get it. The world will never get it, but you should get it. I should get it. It's called A Killing, is the book, the article, turned into a book. Mental illness spiked, addiction, psychosis. The reporter that brought this to light has said, I told you so. He said, I know I'm not supposed to say I told you so, but I told you so. And what is he writing about? He's writing about marijuana and the use and the governments across our nation encouraging young people, decriminalizing it, saying, go ahead and use it because it's a medicine. And this is what he said, and I'm just going to say what he said because it's good. Marijuana is not a medicine. Marijuana is a drug. It is a drug. And it is an intoxicant. And in his article, he said, and I wrote this 10 years ago, and nobody would give me the time of day. He said, but people are giving me the time of day now. Why? Because they've realized that marijuana is a drug. And how are they realizing it? Because they've been personally affected by it. Their young people are being diagnosed with schizophrenia, brain disease, hallucination, delusions, paranoia, and those there are things that cannot be ignored. The world says, go ahead and do it. Do whatever you want. But we have a different outlook on life. Drugs are not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Solomon learned the hard way, which is what Ecclesiastes is all about. So, lesson number one, Lori, you ready? Be generous. Be generous. Because selfishness is foolishness. Here's number two. Be diligent. Because work is blessed. Now, I didn't necessarily adhere to that growing up. Dad taught us to work. And he would plant acres of sweet corn and give us a hoe and say, work the line. And we would do that. But I'm glad Dad taught me to work. And when I got to be an adult, I said, you know, I want my children to learn how to work. And I want to marry a gal that knows how to work. And I tell you what, Mrs. Bishop knows how to work. And I wanted to marry a gal that appreciated work. So when my oldest was 12, and we had him mowing lawns, and he went to his mother and he said, I don't think I want to mow. I don't think I want to mow lawns anymore. What are you saying? I don't think I want to work anymore. His mother looked at him and said, well, you best get an education or you are going to be mowing lawns for the rest of your life. What were we teaching him? We were teaching him to work. So I have used that line just recently. We were out here pounding on the sidewalk, beating ice up, and one lady walked across the street, and when you're an old man, you're beating up ice. She stopped there, and I engaged her in conversation because I was tired and I didn't want to hit anymore, and I said, we're trying to get these walks clear for you. As she walked over to where I was, and I looked at her, and I said, my parents told me that if I didn't want to do hard labor for the rest of my life, I should get an education, and I did, and I'm still doing it. And then she laughed. And she laughed. But I'll tell you this. If you want to be lazy, kids, and do nothing, it's not going to bring you happiness. Laziness does not equate to happiness. You should be diligent and learn to work. So your parents are going to make you clean your room. That's not really work. That's kind of like existing in your space. But you should do that. Why? Because God blesses work. But everybody's got an excuse. Verse 4. I'm not going to clean my room today because the wind is blowing. Well, your parents look at you like, what's the wind got to do with it? Well, the wind doesn't have anything to do with it. It's an excuse. I'm not going to go to work today because there's a cloud in the sky. He that regardeth the clouds. Well, you're not getting a paycheck. You don't go to work because there's a not go to work because there's a cloud in the sky. You just do it because why? Because God blessed work. Right from the very beginning, God said to Adam, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to work. And you should. Again, what does Jesus have to say about that? I'm just so glad you asked. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, because he addressed work as well. You can take the approach of, I'm not going to teach, I'm not going to invest in others, I'm not going to be generous, I'm not going to give, I'm not going to serve, I'm not going to sing, I'm not going to teach, I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm going to take the talents and the ability God has given me, and I'm going to keep them all to myself. You can do that. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, and you trust Christ as your Savior, you are one of his servants, and delivered unto them his goods, and he has. And to one he gave five, to another two, to another one, to every one according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And Christ ascended up into heaven, Acts chapter 1, ascended up, and the angel looked at the disciples as they were gazing up and said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand ye gazing up into heaven? Jesus Christ, he's coming back, and you're going to give an account. So he straightway took his journey, and he has. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same. This is life right now where we live. And made them other five talents. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. He that received one went and hid in the earth his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. And he is coming back again. He is. And reckon with them. Reckoneth. What does that mean? That's an accounting term. That means God's going to account for every line, every expense, every outgoing transaction, every incoming, every deposit, every subtraction. Everything's going to be accounted right down to the penny. Reckoneth with them. And he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. As the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which was not diligent and did not work, did not share, did not give, was not generous, kept it all to himself. That narcissistic self inward, it's all about me. Listen, it is not all about you. Then he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou wert a hard man. I say, preacher, you're making a funny voice. Yeah, you go to court. And somebody that's got they've just been dumb. And they realize that. That your voice changes. You become, all of a sudden, you become mousy. I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. Oh, you poor thing. I'm sure the Lord's going to have compassion on that. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Oh, you poor thing. You didn't want to work. You didn't want to give. Oh, it's okay. That's not what he said. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful. So I love that word, sloth. I love the sloth. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, and he is coming again, I should have received mine own with usury interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. Would you read verse 29 with me? For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, that's a powerful passage of Scripture. So what should we do? Move forward, launch out into the deep, trust God, rely on the Holy Spirit, fret not, and trust God. So God says in the 11th chapter, in the 6th verse, young people, are you listening? Verse 6, in the morning, sow thy seed. What is that? That's when you're young. Sow your seed. Don't sow wild seed, you're going to reap a wild crop. Sow your seed. Serve the Lord. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers. When should you do that? In your youth. And I love to see the young people in the choir serving the Lord. Love to see the young people on Saturday morning going out and knocking on doors. I love to see that. Serve the Lord with your youth. That's smart. That's wise. Look at verse 6. If you're not a young person anymore. In the evening, sow your seed. Well, Pastor, I'm 95 years old. There's nothing I can do for the Lord anymore. Nonsense. Nonsense. Start with my dad at 96. You go, if you're within an arm's reach of him, he's reaching out and grabbing you and talking to you about Christ. It is really embarrassing to try to get out of a restaurant because you got to go through all the tables that are occupied and dad just stops and talks to people. I'm more of a get to the door kind of guy, and dad is like, talk to everybody along the way. And we were out, Mrs. Bishop and I were out with dad, was it you and I? Yeah, Emily City. And dad finished his meal and stood up and looked at a guy at the next table and said, how old are you? The two guys sitting there, two old guys, they were 75, 80 years of age. Oh, you're just kids. Let me tell you what matters. Pulls out a gospel tract and hands it to them. These poor guys, they got huge steaks on their plate. And I'm thinking, Dad, you got to let these guys eat because a cold steak is a bad steak, right? And you didn't care. You're telling you about Christ. And some of you are 60 and you've already quit serving the Lord. In the evening, sow your seed. Be diligent because work is blessed. When should we work for the Lord? In the morning? Pastor, you plan on retiring? I plan on dying. That's what I plan on doing. I do not plan on retiring. I plan on serving the Lord. I have a preacher friend who resigned his church, and he's gone from church to church, helping them, churches without pastors, get a pastor. Man, he's just working. He spent the last 4 months in New Jersey helping a church that had been several years without a pastor get a pastor, and the guy is, I think, taking the pulpit tonight. Man, that's just... He's probably, I don't know, 10 years older than I am. Good for you, fella. Keep at it. Pastor, do you want to retire and sit and fish? I hate fish. I like to eat fish. Jerk on one end, waiting for a jerk on the other? No, that is not me. Work. We sing the song, work for the night is coming. Why? Because we're heading to the grave. And we are. An interesting article came out in the news this week. You're looking to be healthy? Some people say schedule a doctor's visit. Man, I hate the doctor. New research says do not schedule a doctor's visit. If you want to be healthy, take multiple vitamins. No, it didn't say take multiple vitamins. Take some special shot that'll make you... No, it didn't say that. It said if you want to be healthy, get a job. Work. That's what it said. Go to work. If you want to be healthy, go to work. But long before the world figured that out in 2026, God said, go to work. When you're young, work. When you're old, work. Just do it. Why? The article said, because work is therapeutic. Can't spell that word, but it's a nifty word. It's beneficial. It gives you purpose. It will give your body healing. And I say, be diligent because work is blessed. And you're ready for number three, right? Here we go. Number three. Be obedient because God rewards the faithful. In verse 7, truly the light is sweet. The light of God is sweet and a pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. And I'm going to say the Son of God. But if you live many years and rejoice in them all, yet remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. If you live with that wisdom that is below the sun, man, you are indeed cursed. But we live with a different focus. We often, and the world encourages us to, the newspapers don't talk about what good is going on in the world. They talk about the wicked and the vain. And Mark and I were talking before the service, man, don't go to Mexico because and they're setting cities on fire down there, and they're telling people that are vacationing in Mexico to shelter in place and don't engage them. And the president of Mexico is saying to the president of the United States, please don't get involved down here. We can handle this. It's like, wow, crazy. But that's what's in the world. My first thought, Brother Mark, was I have friends who are missionaries down there. Was to pray for them. Because that's where God has called them to serve. And they're not calling me up on the phone saying, Brother Bishop, can you send us money so we can come home? They're saying, this is where God called us. And God knew that we were going to be here at this time. And we are needed. And they are needed there. They're obedient. Because they believe that God rewards the faithful. And they're going to stay. So give God thanks for the sunny days. Why? Because the dark days shall be many. And if you don't have enough dark days, you see me. I'll give you a couple of mine. Give God thanks. When should we do that? In verse 9. When you're a young person. Now, verse 9. Young people, you can let your heart cheer thee. Do what you want, makes you happy. Walk in the way of thine heart, what your heart says. Follow God, follow my heart. Then you better follow God. And walk in the sight of thine eyes, just as far as you can see, but you don't consider there is a God. But know this, Solomon's going to tell you, know this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. So don't forget God. Youth. Diego, youth is not a time to sin and be silly. Friday night, had the teenagers here and called on Diego to give his testimony. And had an adult come to me afterwards and say that was really powerful. We had unsaved people in the room, probably, Friday night. Well done. Serve the Lord with your youth. Don't be afraid to give your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am truly living the dream. I enjoy life. I enjoy marriage. I enjoy ministry. I laugh and I love. You hang around me any amount of time and you're going to know I laugh. But our joy has to be in line with God's word. At a birthday last week, Mrs. Bishop said to me, wow, you're getting old. And I looked right back at her and I said, getting nothing, I have arrived. I have arrived. As you get older, you become more reflective. Yesterday, I was a teenager. Thinking about how long life was. And today, for fun, I'm thinking about going to the cemetery and buying a cemetery plot. That focus is different. I said to the young preacher this morning, he's got how many kids did he have?
Nine.
Nine children, one on the way. Fill up the whole pew back there. I said to him, enjoy them while they're young, they grow up fast. And he said, yeah, I've already figured that out. Reflection. Chapter 12, verse 1. First two words. Are you looking at it? Chapter 12, verse 1. First two words. You see it? What does Solomon say? Say it with me. Remember now. Remember now. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Remember now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this evening, you don't know Christ. Nothing in the world makes sense to you because you don't know Christ. It just seems like wickedness is taken over. There's no sense in living right because you don't know Christ. But if you come to know Christ as your Savior, it'll change the way you look at everything. This evening you say, preacher, I don't know Christ. Would you pray for me? God is speaking to my heart. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. And the message is for you, Christian. Will you remember now? Let's stand to our feet. So our head bowed, the eyes closed, the piano's playing, the altar's opened.